welcome the worldwide broadcast, the Ted and Austin Brower Show, with your host Ted and Austin Brower, bringing you the latest world news and health research. This is Austin Brower, and I'm so glad to have you with us today. And how are you doing today, Dad?
Austin, I'm doing absolutely wonderful. I had a wild adventure with TSA today. I'll tell everybody about. But that's all taken care of now. So that was an interesting experience, and it wasn't nearly as bad as I thought it was going to be. And so I didn't bother to call you on it. So what happened is we went over to the Orlando International Airport. We had an appointment with TSA at 11 o'clock, and we got there. Of course, I was 10 minutes early. I'm always 10 minutes early. It's just kind of thing. It's what I do, and so we signed up. And then all of a sudden, some Hispanics came up, and they signed up after us, and they came out, and they took the Hispanics first. they signed up after us. And I thought, oh, that's interesting. And then another Hispanic lady came up, and then they signed up, and they took her before us again. I guess they have certain people that can speak Spanish, and they have to have them with certain people that, when they come in to speak Spanish. And then it was interesting. Finally, we got in, and they took us in the back. And they sat us down at this really small cubicle, and she told me there were two people there during the day, and they took 90 appointments a day. That means 45 appointments each. So I thought to myself, well, this isn't going to be a lot. They're not going to ask you a bunch of questions because there's no time for that. There's no way you're going to spend 10 or 15 minutes a person. You can't do it and ask questions. And so what they did is they told you, your mom went first. They said all they wanted was digital fingerprints, and that was it. Digital fingerprints. That's all they did. And they've already got my digital fingerprints. And I thought, well, that was interesting. No iris scans, nothing. They never ask a single question, not one question. Finally, I'm sitting there thinking, well, this isn't, really very newsworthy. So I thought, I'll ask her some questions. So I asked her, I said, who are you going to vote for, Trump or Obama? And her response was, well, I haven't decided yet. And discussing politics never has a good ending. And I started laughing at her, and I said, that's probably true. And I said, what else do you do here with the government? She goes, well, I'm primarily with immigration, and we actually deport people. I said, oh. I said, is the government still deporting people? And she goes, yes. And so I'm thinking, well, probably German people that have been here for more than 90 days, that kind of stuff. And the funniest thing was, Austin, then it was my turn. I got my fingerprints taken. She said, your cards will be made. They took a picture of us. And they said, your card will be with you in 2 or 3 weeks. Here's your number for your TSA pre-check. Have a good day and goodbye. That was it. So if you guys were all hoping for something, really major that you're going to get to talk about today, it just didn't happen. It was just more government bureaucracy. They didn't try to screen us. They didn't try to scan us. They didn't try to ask us any questions. Absolutely nothing. Unless it's because we were just, white people, and we decided that, we wanted to go fly some, and they decided they weren't going to bother with us. I don't know. Because the Hispanics who had gone in before, they were still in there talking Spanish, the whole time I was there. And after I left, they were still in there. So I don't know what was going on with those guys. And the Spanish lady who was brought in before me, she was in there literally 90 seconds since she left. So I don't know what happened. She didn't have her paperwork filled out properly or whatever. But the whole thing was interesting. Let me tell you, it was a completely and totally uneventful process. So hopefully now the next time I go through TSA, I don't have to be groped and fondled and all the stuff they seem to enjoy doing. So I'll let you guys know next time I fly what happens.
Well, it's interesting because that just kind of goes to show you how much of a joke the whole propaganda war on terror and the TSA and all this stuff is, just for the simple fact of how easy this was to do, and there's really no significant vetting, like you said. I mean, there's already fingerprints on file. I mean, most people already have their fingerprints on file from one way or another. Right. So that's interesting. I find that very interesting. I'm glad it went quickly, though, for you. It's better than last time driving Orlando.
We were literally in and out in 10 minutes. I mean, it was the craziest thing for both of us. And I thought, this is just really strange. I mean, because, of course, when you have 40 people to do a day, you don't want to spend a lot of time with anybody. And again, what TSA does, it gives people the illusion that they're flying safely. It's an illusion.
Right.
That's all it is, an illusion, okay? You'd be better off if you had an armed air marshal in full uniform on every aircraft, okay, who is walking up and down the aisles, okay? That would be something that you could do that would be pretty. And if you had two armed air marshals that were walking back and forth on the plane armed, that would deter pretty much anything, instead of spending the billions and billions and billions of dollars a year just on domestic flights and flights with U.S. air carriers, throw a couple air marshals on each plane and have them actually walk in full uniform. And I guarantee you, you'll put a stop to this crap immediately without having to go through all the carnage of the X-rays and all the stuff they do to you all the time. It's ridiculous. But I still have not gone through their X-ray machine yet. And so hopefully now with this TSA pre-check complete, I'll never have to do that. So we'll find out, because, you know, they've re-implemented those scanners again now, and they're saying that some people have to do them regardless. So it's an interesting experience with all of these guys. What's your first story, Al?
You're right, though, about the, as far as the air marshals, because, you know, those guys make, you know, anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 a year is just, you know, basic air marshal salary. And you think about that, I mean, even one of them on each plane compared to how many billions of dollars we're spending a year with TSA. And what's crazy is when we spent the billions of dollars on the X-ray scanners that end up getting mothballed after a couple of years because they weren't working, and now they're back out again. It's all a facade. It's all just a way to try and confiscate everybody's freedom and liberty, because, like you said, you simply put an armed air marshal on a plane, you're not going to have any issues with all this. But we already know that all the stuff was set up with 9/11 anyways. So that's why it wouldn't matter if they had an air marshal on the plane. They want to make sure that they can have their little story and everything else that went along with 9/11 to make people believe, you know, the war on terror is a significant problem, and we all need to give up our freedoms and our rights and basically grovel to the government for protection.
Hang on one second. Here's the thing. You know, when they make you take your shoes off, make you take your belt off, make you take your pants off, you know, I told you guys what happened. I'll tell the story for the new listeners. A couple of years ago, I was flying home from L.A. I'd done a big TV shoot out there with a national known ministry, and I was coming back on the airplane, and I was wearing a pair of shorts that I carried my 45 Kimber in. And apparently my 45 Kimber had gunpowder residue on it. And when they swabbed the inside of my pants, because I refused to do the X-ray, it tested positive for gunpowder. Well, they all flipped out. They were just freaking out, right? You know, you're testing positive for explosives. And I'm like, oh, this is so stupid. I said, look, guys, look at my wallet. There's a concealed weapons permit. I carry a 1911 Kimber. It's always chambered. I shot it the other day. Apparently, I didn't clean it well enough. There's some residue from my gun in my pants. That's what you're testing. And they said, well, we don't know what to do. We got to take you in the back and search you. And I said, okay, fine. And said, this is a really big Hispanic guy and a really big a black guy. And they're like 6'3", 6'4", each, big guys. And so we walk into the back room, and then they close the door on me. So I pulled my shirt off. They said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm going to go naked. I said, I figure I'm going naked anyhow. I said, you might as well just make sure that I'm not wearing anything or sitting, you know, whatever. Oh, no, we don't want you going naked. I said, look, guys, I don't care. I said, I got a flight to catch in 30 minutes. I said, if this is what it all boils down to, we got to go naked with you guys. I said, whatever, man, who cares? So I've been in 1,000 locker rooms and gyms, whatever. I've been in a bunch of showers and gyms, and who cares? And they said, oh, no, we don't want you doing that. And I said, well, whatever. Then I said, they said, look, you don't want to believe everything you read about TSA. And I started laughing, and I said, wait a minute. You got me back here with my shirt off. I'm in a back room with a door closed with a big black guy and a big Hispanic guy, and you guys are groping on me. I said, now what do I need not to believe that I've already read about this? I'm in this room with you guys right now. And they looked at me kind of funny. They both started laughing. They didn't know what to do, Austin. They started laughing at me. And they said, well, I guess you're right, aren't you? I said, yeah, I am right. I said, I read you guys do stuff like this, and here I am doing it. You're doing it. And they said, well, hang on a second. We don't know what to do, because we've never had anybody test positive for gunpowder or explosives. I'm like, whatever, guys. I said, take my stupid shorts. You can have them. Give me my carry-on bag. I'll put another pair of pants on. You can throw these shorts away. We can be done with all this nonsense. No, we can't do that. So they called the head security guy up for the airport. In the meantime, I'm sitting there with no shoes, no belt, but now I'm back out in the general population area thinking I'm going to miss this flight. It's the only nonstop flight from L.A. to Orlando. So I thought, I'm going to miss this flight. Now, Sharon was already on the flight. I told her to go ahead. No point in her having to sit around and wait on me. And so I'm sitting there going, you know, like lottie, 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 right? And all of a sudden, this huge guy shows up, and you could tell he was ex-military. It looked like he was Special Forces. He was the head of the entire TSA for the airport, and he was there. And I said to him, I said, look, I got a concealed weapons permit. I pocket carry a Kimber. You know, and here I am. I'm like white as a ghost most of the time, because, you know, I got this German skin. Obviously, I'm not a terrorist. And the guy looked at me, and I said, by the way, can I have my belt back and my shoes? He goes, absolutely. He said, give the man his belt and shoes. So I put my belt on, put my shoes on. These guys are just talking. And I looked at him, I said, officer, I'm going to miss my flight. Do you mind if I just go ahead and just leave? And he goes, no, you are. You're fine. Go ahead. You can leave. That was it. And I walk off and jump on the airplane. I think to myself, wow, that was really odd. What a strange morning this has become. See, That's what they're doing. They're dehumanizing us, Austin. They want to make us think that we're not really human beings anymore. We're animals that go through cattle prods. We're animals that go through gates, and they want to dehumanize us. That's why they're putting us in bathrooms. A female dog and a male dog don't need separate bathroom areas. They don't need that. Why do human beings need separate bathroom areas? They consider us to be subhuman. It's all part of the dehumanization of humanity. That's the point of them doing all of this to all of us. That's why they're doing it. Transhumanism, you know, you want to be a transhuman, you want to be a transvestite, you want to go ahead and be a cross-dresser. We don't care. It doesn't make any difference. We want to dehumanize you. The Bible says in the book of Genesis that God made them male and he made them female. That's who we were made in. We were made in the image of God, male and female, not male, female, and it. I mean, it doesn't work that way. And so that's what they're trying to do, is take everything God created and turn his entire creation upside down, and they're doing it through dehumanization. Now, the crazy thing about this is their plans are starting to backfire on all of them, because when I asked the lady this morning in TSA, I said, who are you voting for? She said, you know, and finally she looked at me and she goes, it really doesn't matter. I don't believe it matters at all. Ah, now I'm starting to think she may be a little bit awake after all. But I didn't pursue that because I wanted to get out of there in a few minutes, and I didn't want to have some protracted list, you know, group of questions coming at me. But the point is this: you can't let them turn you into an animal. That's what the pornography is all about. They're getting you addicted to porn, so you want to sit there and look at the porn all day long, ruin your lives, ruin your marriage, ruin your sex life, ruin everything because you're looking at porn, because they think that you're an animal. They're using that Pavlovian conditioning that they were taught from Leipzig University. They brought over back in the 1800s through Skull and Bones. They brought all of this stuff over here to basically teach us and make us respond like Skinner did, like an animal to stimulus. And that's what they've done. Then they brought in Hegelian dialect, their problem action solution, and they've trained us with all of this. And that's how they've been able to take the country and turn it completely upside down in the past 60 or 70 years. That's what they've done. They've done it on purpose, and it was to dehumanize us also. And I just want to open up with us today.
Good. That was definitely a good opening on that. That addressed a lot of issues on there. This is the first story I had. This is back from the beginning of January. This has been an ongoing problem in Texas that I was actually unaware of until today. It started back in 2003. This article is back from January, though. It says state senators expressed bipartisan disapproval Wednesday of an unpopular program that levies large surcharges on drivers for traffic offenses, with several calling for a broad change or for scrapping it entirely. It's called the Driver Responsibility Program, created in 2003 to address actually a budget shortfall and promote more responsible driving, which that's a lie, a complete and total lie. When I started reading about this, I didn't realize how tyrannical this was, and the fact that Texas has put up with this is almost embarrassing to me, that they've continued to allow this. What it does is it requires drivers convicted of certain traffic offenses, such as high miles per hour of speeding or driving while intoxicated, to pay additional annual surcharges on top of any court fines and criminal penalties to maintain their driver's license. To date now, nearly 1.3 million drivers have had invalid licenses now, according to the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition. During last year's legislation session, the Senate approved a proposal to weaken the program. The measure died in the House. However, another bill passed that reduced some of the surcharges. Senators' comments at Wednesday's hearing suggested a strong interest in either dramatically reforming the program or scrapping it altogether. Elizabeth Heineke, a police attorney at the Texas Criminal Justice Coalition, said that this needs to be done, recommending using court costs and fees to replace lost trauma. She described one case she worked on with a single DWI, which this lady got charged one time for driving while intoxicated. She was 67 years old. After about, it escalated for about 3 years. She couldn't pay the annual fines on top of it. It ended up going into about $25,000 in fines this lady owed, and several prison stays for misdemeanor charges. One of the congressmen says on here, he goes, it's a failed public policy. It's not working. It's double jeopardy. In order for people to eat, they have to work. For them to work, they have to drive. It's just a cascading situation that gets worse and worse, and it doesn't create the behavior it's intended to create. And essentially what it does is, say if you get charged with going like over 30 miles an hour, what you do is you still have to pay your $600-$700 fine when you go to court. You have to pay your court fines. You have to pay your attorney if you do all that. And then they levy you with another annual fee. It can be anywhere from a few hundred dollars to a few thousand dollars, depending on what the charge is, that you have to pay annually for X amount of years just to keep your driver's license. And they've done this under the guise of promoting more responsible driving and to help out with the overall Texas budget, which both of those are complete and total garbage. That's nothing you should even remotely believe. This is all about trying to force the population into indentured servitude and basically debtor's prison. It's really egregious. I had no idea this was going on, so I thought I would address that today because apparently a lot of legislation out in Texas are absolutely sick of this, including the population, especially anybody that actually gets caught up in this system and ends up getting, you know, a heavy speeding ticket or a DUI or something of that sort. Granted, I'm not endorsing that type of behavior, but you go to court, you pay your fine, you pay your court costs, it's done, it's over with. It's my opinion, it's done. You should not be charged an annual fine every year for something you've already been convicted of and you've paid your dues for. What do you think about this, Dad? I didn't even know this was going on over there.
Well, it's the same. It's part of the prison industrial complex.
Yeah.
These communities, when they bring prisons in, excuse me, or the state, they have to sign that they're going to put so many prisoners in incarceration per year, or else the prisons don't come in, or whatever, or they're not funded properly, and so they're like for-profit institutions. And what ends up happening is that this whole thing with the traffic fines and the probation and the never-ending fees, all that stuff just continues on and on and on. I know we had an employee before, and he was a great guy, and he actually we're using him for maintenance, and we actually interviewed him, and I asked him, I said, "Have you ever been convicted of a felony?" He goes, "Well, yeah, I was." And I said, "Okay, what was the felony?" He goes, "Not paying child support." And I said, "How did not paying child support end up being a felony?" He goes, "Well, what happened?" He goes, "They took my driver's license away because I didn't have the child support. Then I couldn't get a job because I had to pay the child support. So then the judge found me in contempt of court because I couldn't pay the child support. So I ended up leaving the state because I didn't want to have to deal with this anymore, so I changed states. They sent the U.S. Marshals to Florida to pick me up, dragged me all the way back to Kentucky, and then basically the judge threw me in prison for a year for contempt of court. And I said, and he said, now I'm a felon, and he says, I've got my driver's license back, but now it's very difficult to get a job because I got busted for not paying child support. I mean, unbelievable. Another guy I know, he came over one day to do some sheetrock repair for me. It's a black guy, a nice guy, don't remember his name, and he came over to do some sheetrock repair for me, and he was being driven by a woman, you know, in this sheetrock repair van. And so he did the sheetrock repair, and she sat there and watched him. And finally I asked him, I said, you know, why is she just sitting here watching you? Why do you have two people here working when you're by yourself? He goes, well, I don't have a driver's license. And I said, well, why don't you have a driver's license? He goes, well, he goes, I loaned my car to some friends. They went out and they got parking tickets on the car. They never gave me the parking tickets. And then what happened is, you know, I ended up getting stopped, and they arrested me for not having parking tickets and for not paying the parking tickets, which I knew nothing about. And so I contested the parking tickets, saying that it wasn't my fault these people had used my car because they weren't my parking tickets. The judge didn't see my point in it, and because I refused to pay the parking tickets, he threw me in prison and charged me as a felon for a year. He goes, I've lost my driver's license. And I'm like, gosh. See, this is the kind of abuse that we have at the state. Most people don't fear, you know, competition in business, or they don't fear their neighbors, or they don't fear anybody, but they fear the state. They fear the police. They fear the troopers. They fear the government. They fear all of this stuff. We're not born of a spirit of fear, but a power and of love and a sound mind. And these folks have lost the principal thing that they have, the principal component of their job is this. They work for us. They are our employees. We are not their employees. We pay their salary. And these guys in Congress, these pedophile, cokehead, you know, prostitute lovers up in Congress that are all being sued, or not being sued, being blackmailed, are basically completely unaware of the concept that they have a job and they're employees. You know, King Obama, who would be king, thinks that we're all his servants and he can do whatever he wants to do, and he doesn't realize that he's a hireling. We've hired him. But of course, we all know that I personally believe this completely. You know, Joel Skousen talked about it yesterday, that, you know, that they had to shave a lot of votes off of Romney to get Obama in for a second term. And I believe that. I actually believe that. Because I know how his first executive order was to seal all his personal records. I mean, nobody knows anything about this guy. Everybody knows everything about Trump. And he's not trying to hide anything. So it's awful, Austin, that they're doing that in Texas, that they're doing that in Kentucky. that they're doing that in Florida. A lot of states do this because it generates a lot of revenue through the fines, through the probation, and all this. They have to justify their own agency. They have to justify their own employees in those agencies, and they have to be able to fund all of that. And they do that through their fines and through their probation and through their constant court appearances, Austin. It's absolutely horrible. And you know people, and I know people, once they get into that system, all they're waiting for is just a speeding ticket, another ticket, and now you violated your terms of probation. Just that quick.
Yep.
You're done. And they handcuff you, back to jail again you go. Now you're locked up for 90 days, and your life turns into this never-ending just septic tank cycle of how do I get out of this mess? And I know a lot of people who've been in that, and a lot of them have not come out of it very well, and they've come out of there as convicted felons, so it's pretty awful. Anything you want to add to all that?
No, yeah, I mean, it is, and I think everybody knows people like this now, where they, you know, they're good people, they've really never been involved in much illicit activity, and all of a sudden they get involved in this. I know Lana had a friend that she was friends with in hair school, and the same thing, she got like two or three red light tickets, I think, out of the county when she was traveling, and she ended up moving when she came back down to Bartow, back over to Lakeland, and she just didn't know she got the tickets. They mailed them to her old address. She never got them. Stuff didn't get forwarded, whatever. They were red light tickets. Red light tickets, guys. So she gets pulled over in Lakeland one day, and she got like a busted taillight or the bulb's out. A cop pulls her over, runs her tag. He goes, "Ma'am, you have outstanding warrants for unpaid red light tickets from like 6-7 months ago." She's like, "Well, that can't be the case. I've never got anything." I goes, "I don't care. You got outstanding warrants." Takes her to jail, charges her for all this. She has to get bonded out, has like a $250 bond to get out of jail. She has to go to court. She has to pay all the fines from these red light fees that are basically, you know, have penalties and interest accrued on them now, which I don't even know how that works. You have interest and penalties added on to fines that you're already paying. So she had to dump like all of her cash out to get this. Well, then the problem was she ended up having another issue where she didn't pay one of the last ones. So they ended up suspending her driver's license. So then she ended up getting pulled over again, like 2 months later, on a suspended DL, goes back to jail again. And this girl, like, never been in trouble. She had never been involved in anything. And it was like all of a sudden now, this cascading event where she's spending literally thousands of dollars in and out of court, can't pay for her apartment, can't pay for her car payment anymore, and almost completely ruined her life for like 2 years. For some stupid red light tickets that weren't even constitutional. So a lot of this stuff, I mean, it's horrible, man. And that's why I've been so adamant about trying to get the red light tickets. There's a attorney firm called the Ticket Clinic in Florida, and they've been fighting vigorously against the red light tickets in Florida. I hate those things with a passion. I cannot stand them. They're absolutely 100% unconstitutional. They've already been shown numerous times now to increase accidents, to increase fender benders, to cause all types of problems with traffic congestion, yet it doesn't matter. They let these independent security companies run them, then the police, the local police departments get a cut of the money that these guys bring in. That's why the Florida Ticket Clinic sued these guys, because this company, this independent security company that did these red light tickets, they found that they brought in over $30 million over a period of 4 years from these red light tickets, and yet only like 5% of the money actually went back into the counties that they were getting the money from. These aren't supporting the county. They're not supporting the infrastructure. They're not supporting the roads. They're simply private contractors that are sucking money out of just hardworking Americans. They're trying to drive and get to work, and they don't need to be policed and treated like dogs on shock collars. Oh, you ran a red light when it was yellow. We're going to shock you. $150 fine. If you don't pay it, we're going to take you to jail. Shock you again. That's all it is. It's conditioning the people to be okay with this type of behavior. And it's funny you said that earlier, Dad, because you made a lot of sense with that. You said most people don't fear business. Most people don't fear much of anything. But the one thing that you can almost rest assured, you talk to anybody, they're always scared of law enforcement. They're always scared of the courts, and they're always scared of the state because of how much power they have to ruin your life when you do absolutely nothing wrong. So, yeah, it's interesting. So just that's my take on it.
Well, like this morning when I was going over to the airport to get the TSA thing, I went over there, and, you know, there's a spot where they always, you know, have all these 10 troopers set up with these airplanes that basically sting you here in Florida with a Vascar. And I had a check, you know, through the Holy Spirit, I really believe, you know, driving, and I slowed down when I got off that off-ramp, and I thought, I bet you these guys are back here again on a holiday weekend. Sure enough, I get around the corner where you can see them. Another 10 troopers lined up with lights on, just far as you can see. People pulled. And I thought, God, can't they just leave us alone? And this is the way to the airport in Orlando. So now the tourists are going to fly home today. And on the way home, they get nailed by a traffic cop like this. You know, welcome to Orlando. Welcome to Central Florida. We love you. Now pay your fines. I mean, are you joking? It's awful. See, again, it's part of that prison industrial complex, because the bigger government gets, Austin, it has to fund itself. It has to justify itself. And if it can't justify itself and fund itself, it's in trouble. That's why Congress is such an abysmal abomination and failure, the pedophiles, the weirdos we've got in Congress, because the problem is this. They hold the purse strings. Obama can't do diddly squat. The Congress has to approve the budget. They could just say, no, we're not going to approve these giant budgets with these giant spending programs. The answer is no. We're not going to do this. We're not going to allow this. And they can shut the government down. That's why it was designed to do that. But when these guys are all being threatened because of their marital affairs or because they like to have sex with little kids, a bunch of weirdos, a bunch of perverts, then what ends up happening is they don't do anything. They just don't do anything. They do whatever the government tells them to do, and they sign these giant, giant budget bills in. I mean, it's complete and total nonsense. And the sad part about it is that when you got somebody like Obama, who's a tax and spend liberal, and Hillary, who's going to make Obama look like he's a joke, okay? You know, this is crazy. I mean, these guys all have this super left-wing agenda. They want to destroy family, destroy homes. Here's another example. National Review. According to a professor at the University of Warwick in England, parents who read to their children should be thinking about how unfairly they are disadvantaging other people's children by reading to their own children. In other words, the kids... No, this is what he says. In an interview with ABC Radio last week, philosopher and blithering idiot Adam Swift said that since bedtime story activities do indeed foster and produce familial relationship, we wouldn't want to ban them, but that parents who engage in bedtime story and activities should definitely at least feel kind of bad about it. I don't think parents reading their children bedtime stories should constantly have in their minds the way they have unfairly disadvantaged the other people's children. But I think they should have that thought occasionally, he said. But Swift also added some other things that he said it was unfair when you send your children to private school because it can't be justified because all the kids don't get to go to private school. So his blithering idiot liberal was saying was, I don't like the family. I don't like a husband and father reading to their children. I don't like the family unit. I think we're all a bunch of its. We're all a bunch of transhumans. We're all a bunch of transvestites. There's no male. There's no female. There's no children. The state knows better. But if you're going to do this, you need to feel guilty about it. I mean, where do they come up with people like this? I mean, Austin, again, this is another perfect example of these idiot educated people that I know, who have PhDs or university professors, who were so stupid that they couldn't get out of the rain if it started monsooning on them. They just stand there and drown. I mean, I don't know what to say about these guys. I mean, I ran into these guys in school all the time at Florida State. I remember Florida State years ago, they wanted me to give them money. They sent somebody down to visit me and blah, blah, blah. And they wanted me to start donating and be an alumni and all this. Because I am an alumni. They wanted me to be a money-giving alumni. And I finally told the guy, I said, look, here's the deal. You know, I had great memories at Florida State. I really did. I got saved at Florida State. I mean, I was born again at Florida State. I said, but I just can't get past your gay and lesbian curriculum that you got there now. And I said, he goes, well, we're a full service university. We have to supply, you know, all the needs of everybody. I said, well, I understand all that. I said, I understand what you guys are doing it. But the problem is, if I give you guys money or donate something, I said, I'm going to be able to subsidize, you know, something else that you can now take that money from that and you can put it in things that I don't agree with. He goes, well, that's true. He goes, money is fungible. I said, I know money is fungible. I said, but the problem is, I said, I can't get past all of this stuff. I said, plus, I had a bunch of really liberal professors at Florida State that were absolutely awful. They didn't care about their students. All they cared about was getting their research published. They didn't want to teach classes. They didn't want to teach us anything. All they wanted to do is make classes as miserably hard as they possibly could. And I said, I had one guy, his name was Gib DeBusk. He rest in peace. I'm sure he's dead by now. And I took a class with him called Biochemical Genetics. I spent 400 hours just in laboratory for the whole semester there. Got an A on my oral finals. Got A's on everything that I turned in. Got A. I get a B for the course. And I said, he goes, why'd you get a B? I said, because I didn't discover any new secrets he could use in his research. He goes, "You're kidding." I said, "No, that was why I got a B." In fact, I asked him later, "Why did I get a B?" "Well, you didn't discover anything new. You know, you didn't come out with some kind of new discovery." And I'm like, "Well, it's all by happenstance. It's all by accident if you get that or not." He goes, "That's true. We don't care. That's how you get an A." I mean, that kind of stupid stuff. So I told the guy, I said, "I have no interest in supporting an institution that treats its students like that." I said, "So no, I enjoyed going to Florida State. I enjoyed going to the football games. I enjoyed graduating from there three times. I enjoyed the life I had up there when I was there. I enjoyed getting saved there. But no, I don't have any interest in supporting this." So guys, if you're going to support higher education, do it at a local college that's Christian. If you have a local university that's a Christian school, support them. Give the money to them. Send your children there if you can. But guys, don't be going out and giving huge amounts of money to organizations that promote all these horrible, horrible alternative lifestyles and that are so secular, it's ridiculous. I mean, Florida State, I mentioned this the other day. A couple years ago when that guy broke loose and shot those guys in the Strozier Library there, Florida State was one of the big obstacles we had in the state of Florida of getting concealed weapon permit carriers to be able to carry guns on college campuses. We talked about that the other day in detail, Austin. And see, I don't like any of that. So my whole thing is this. Put your money where your heart is. I'm going to repeat that. Put your money where your heart is. You know, if your heart's with a local Christian organization or community college, it's a Christian organization, okay, go ahead and do it. But think about what they're promoting and what they're doing. And that's why I told you that I pulled the kids out of the All Saints Academy because of the fact that I didn't want to support that mess anymore. What's your next story, Oz?
This one's on thimerosal now, back on vaccines. And this is an interesting one here that I wanted to bring up today, involving a Dr. Hooker, a PhD scientist. Documents now forced to be revealed by the CDC have proven now the agency knew that thimerosal caused autism but deliberately hid the evidence from the public. This is huge. I just found this today. A vaccine industry watchdog has now obtained CDC documents that show statistically significant risk of autism associated with the vaccine preservative, reports Health Advice. It goes on to say, Dr. Hooker, a PhD scientist, worked with two members of Congress to craft a letter to the CDC that recently resulted in his obtaining long-awaited data from the CDC, the significance of which is historic. According to Dr. Hooker, the data on over 400,000 infants born between 91 and 97 was analyzed by CDC Thomas Bederstein, MD, proves unequivocally that in 2000, CDC officials were informed internally of a very high risk of autism, non-organic sleep disorder, and speech disorder associated with any thimerosal exposure. Thimerosal, which is 50% mercury by weight, was used in most childhood vaccines and the RHOGAM shot for pregnant women prior to early 2000. The CDC maintains there is no relationship between thimerosal-containing vaccines and autism rates in children, even though the data from CDC's own Vaccine Safety Data Link, VSD, database shows a significant risk. There are a number of other records to back this up that we've talked about numerous times. Mercury is a toxic, toxic substance. Any form of mercury is toxic to humans. Mercury is one of the most toxic elements known to modern science, and they're putting this stuff in vaccines. We've talked about it repeatedly, and it's crazy to me now that, you know, the CDC has gone on record, oh, thimerosal safe in vaccines. Thimerosal safe to inject intramuscularly in vaccines. It's okay, it's okay, it's okay. Now their internal memos even stating now that there's a high risk of autism associated with thimerosal exposure in the year 2000. This just goes to show you that the CDC is not who you think they are. They are not there to preserve health. They are not there to protect us. They are not there to preserve our rights. They are simply there to be, basically, to do whatever the government tells them to do. And this is another perfect example of this, how this exactly happens on a regular basis with them.
No, you're absolutely right. In fact, the crazy thing about it is, it's like with Monsanto. We have all these reports from the Freedom of Information Act back from the 70s and 80s that they know that glyphosate causes 20 different types of cancers, or approximately 20 different types of cancers. And they know that. They proved it over and over and over again. Their own research proved it. And then they shelved all that information. But yet they sue California because California wants to label it as a carcinogen. And their own information says it's a carcinogen. I mean, it's amazing to me, Austin, that the population is in an uproar about Monsanto and Bayer and all the rest of them. I mean, it's absolutely ridiculous. Here's another article. Cell phone radiation boosts cancer rates in animals. $25 million study finds brain tumors. The U.S. government expected to advise public of the health risk. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. This is from Microwave News. The U.S. National Toxicology Program, NTP, is expected to issue a public announcement that cell phone radiation presents a cancer risk for humans, which, of course, I've been telling you guys that for 25 years. The move comes after its recently completed study showing statistically significant increases in cancer among rats that have been exposed to GSM or GDMA signals for 2 years. Discussions are currently underway among federal agencies on how to inform the public about the new findings. NTP senior managers believe CNN was making a big plant, big panic. NTP senior managers believe that the results should be released as soon as possible because just about everyone is exposed to wireless radiation all of the time, and therefore everyone is potentially at risk. The new results contradict the conventional wisdom advanced by doctors, biologists, physicists, and epidemiologists who don't know what they're talking about, among other pundits, that such effects are impossible. The view is based in part on the lack of established mechanism for the RF radiation from cell phones to induce cancer. Because they can't figure out the exact mechanism, they're saying it doesn't happen. Guys, I'm telling you, and I've told you this before, turn your Wi-Fi transmitters off in your house. Don't sleep inside of that Wi-Fi wake blanket. And whatever you do, if you're using a cell phone, use the speakerphone. If it's a private conversation and you don't want to be obnoxious, take it outside. That's what I always tell people. Don't be yelling and screaming on a cell phone when you got people listening to you because nobody else wants to hear it. And I always, that's why nobody wants to hear it. It's ridiculous. You get somebody at a dinner table next to you, and is yelling and screaming at somebody. You're like, dude, shut up. I don't want to hear this garbage. Take it outside. You know, I've told them that before. Take it outside, dude. Nobody wants to listen to this. And see, that's the whole thing. Use your speakerphone, take it outside, and don't put it next to your head. Just a few minutes ago, I was listening to a talk show coming back from the TSA at the airport. We had like a 45-minute drive to get home, and I had my cell phone laying up on the dash, you know, way away from me, and I was playing it through my speakers in the car. And when I got home, the cell phone was hot. I mean, you could barely touch it. It was so hot. There's a reason it's hot. It's a microwave generator. It's putting out microwave signals. It's receiving microwave signals. It's being cooked. C-O-O-K-E-D, cooked, because of the generated heat. That's why the cell phones get hot. They cook themselves. That's why they get so insanely hot sometimes you can't even touch them. They're cooking themselves. You put a piece of metal in a microwave, it's going to get hot. That's what happens to these cell phones. The same thing is true. You put it next to your ear gets hot. It's because it's cooking your ear. It doesn't stop with your ear. It penetrates into your head a couple of inches. That's why you should always hold this stuff away from you or use a speakerphone or use your car audio to listen to the cell phone if you want to listen to the news. But no matter what, guys, don't let your kids be playing with these things and attaching them to their heads because their skulls are a lot thinner and they have a lot more radiation intrusion into their brain from cell phones than adults do because we have a bigger, you know, higher bone density. What's your next story, Oz?
Yeah, and especially with the new virtual reality goggles and stuff that basically mount the iPhone right in front of your face.
Oh, yes.
For this VR technology now, that's something you really need to stay away from, primarily because you got to think about it. A, most kids aren't going to play a virtual reality video game for 2 or 3 minutes. They're going to play it for probably hours on end, and this cell phone's going to literally be an inch away from their face the entire time. So definitely keep that away. I've done some research on that already. Just what we know about cell phones is bad enough. Now strapping it to your face, and they've already shown that children, especially younger children, are much more susceptible to this stuff and the radiation that it causes from these cell phones. So stay away from that stuff. If they want to play, you know, a video game, they get an allotted 30 minutes of time, you know, on a TV, you know, on an old Xbox or something. I don't have a problem with that. There's nothing an issue there. But strapping this stuff on your face, there's no way this is going to have good long-term side effects.
Now you're talking about the Xboxes that are fully wired that aren't Wi-Fi.
That's exactly what I'm talking about. I'm talking like my old Xbox 360 that takes an Ethernet cord that plugs into the wall.
That's right.
You know, those are okay. You know, a lot of those are still pretty cool. You know, if they do want to play a video game, like I said, they need to be outside. They need to be doing stuff. But some kids, you know, occasionally it's raining, you want to do something inside. That's cool with that. But a lot of these new ones now, too, like you just said, they're all full Wi-Fi connected. They have all this different stuff. They produce their own. They have their own internet circuit. I'm not a big fan of those. Plus, these new ones, they actually have cameras in them, and they spy on you because you can actually make adjustments on the screen, like change channels or do stuff with your hand movements. You don't even have to use a remote. I'm not a proponent of any of the new ones or not. The Xbox 360 and the old PlayStations, those are plenty. Plus, the further along we're getting in these newer video games, they look so stinking real that I really don't know how healthy it is for young children to even be putting any amount of time on these video games, because I've seen them before. It's so hard to distinguish if you're even watching a movie or you're playing a video game. Really, really crazy how far it's come. And a lot of the old ones, they're decent quality, but, you know, you could still tell it's a video game at that. This is interesting. This is out of Minnesota now. Federal and state governments are constantly increasing the demand for children to be vaccinated, as I was just talking about earlier now. As reported by Breitbart News a few days ago, a shocking 22% of all the refugees the feds have resettled in Minnesota have tested positive for tuberculosis, according to the state's health department. 22%, almost a quarter of all the refugees settled in Minnesota. That compares with just 4% of the entire U.S. population, according to the most recent information from the Center for Disease Control. This goes back to the same thing again. Minnesota had 150 cases of tuberculosis. And this is huge, because what we're seeing now is, we brought this up before, is that this isn't normal to be bringing in outside populations from different countries and bringing them into the country unvetted, unchecked. And quite frankly, guys, some of these guys are exposed to some really raunchy stuff in these third world countries. And I can't say I'm a huge vaccine proponent, but they need to be checking these guys and making sure that they're not carrying all kinds of really contagious diseases when they're coming into a country that basically has rid themselves of a lot of this stuff. So that's one aspect of the vetting process that needs to get changed immediately. And that's why I think Trump's addressed a lot of this stuff, including that. This whole policy needs to change with bringing in these immigrants, with allowing these people to come in. This is not going to work. This is not sustainable long term. We need to make massive change immediately.
Well, I completely agree with you. Also, one other thing I want to add about the video games, especially with these games where you kill people all the time. Years ago, we had a full bird colonel came to visit us, still active in the military. She had cryptographic clearance, one of the top colonels in the military, and she was involved in computer games. And she told us, if you remember, Austin, when she was watching one of those games that we were playing on the screen, that's the same type of programming that they use to train the soldiers to kill people. Because it desensitizes their subconscious, because it allows them to continue to squeeze off rounds and shoot people over and over and over and over again, and pretty soon their body and their mind becomes desensitized to it. That's one of the things that these kids get involved in, and they start getting really aggressive and start doing crazy things because their brain tells them that all that stuff is okay. And that's one of the ways they train dissident kids. Now, here's an interesting article about Mexican drug cartel assassins who are poised to murder Americans in Arizona. Hikers and campers, from Kurt Nemo, hikers and campers are taking heed after the Pinal, it looks like Pinal County Sheriff's Office in Arizona issued a warning about Mexican drug cartel assassins operating in the United States in the county. Sheriff Paul Babu suggested people using back roads, trails, and campsites in wilderness areas be armed and vigilant over the Memorial Day weekend. His office says Mexican assassin crews are operating in the area. The assassins regularly target rival rip crews, ferrying drugs over the border and steal their money and drugs. Police have reported numerous instances of armed confrontations in southern Arizona between rival drug runners. Since March, gun battles have taken place on I-8 near Casa Grande outside of Arizona City and on the Tobatum Reservation. Guys, this is ridiculous. I remember I watched a show just a couple years ago about a guy that was down there on a fishing expedition, and he was out there fishing, and the guys on the side of the beach opened up fire on him with automatic weapons. They were Mexican drug people, thinking he was out there doing something he wasn't supposed to do. And he was in the United States. You know, if you're going to go down there and you live in Arizona, do yourself a favor. Take yourself some real guns, get you a Scar Heavy, bring you a couple AR-15s, if you really want to have some fun and start shooting at some tin cans, go get yourself a Barrett 50 and run it for the weekend. And if these guys decide they're going to play games with you, you reach out and touch somebody. I mean, this is ridiculous that we are in the United States of America are being warned by sheriffs to arm yourselves if you go hiking into the backwoods to be aware of drug cartels coming out of Mexico. I want my wall. I want Trump to build a stinking wall and stop this stuff, Austin. It's ridiculous that we, the people of the United States, have to be subjected to this nonsense. What do you think?
No, it's absolutely egregious, man. I mean, they're warning American citizens to watch out for Mexican drug cartels of basically killing you while you're camping. I mean, that's almost a joke if it wasn't real. You would almost think it's a satire if you heard that any other time in history. And this, again, just it makes it even clearer what I was just talking about a few minutes ago, that this has to change as far as this immigration policy, this loose border policy that's a joke. Like you said, man, build a wall. This needs to be something that people want to come here to benefit America, to make America great, to help America, to benefit themselves and to further themselves and their goals. That's why people need to come here, not to come here to try and push more dope and get in gangs and shoot people. That should be the last reason anybody comes to this country. And if you want to be involved in that, you need to be booted out of the American, you know, continent immediately. And, I mean, it's just interesting because I saw that the riots in Anaheim, the Trump riots yesterday in Anaheim, California, I think almost 20 anti-Trump protesters got arrested. And what's so funny is that these guys don't even, you know, they're obviously their mental acuity is very low because they don't know how to say anything but F Donald Trump. That's what these guys do. They flip their middle fingers up and just scream profanities. That's the biggest thing they can say. And then on top of that, they don't know how to peacefully protest or picket. As soon as something happens, they start picking up rocks, bottles, trash, fireworks, and throwing them at protesters and police. So when the riot police had to come in Anaheim yesterday and basically start arresting people with force, and there's photos of it, and these guys are standing in lines, you know, rioting, throwing rocks, and they're holding up Mexican flags. Repeated people holding up Mexican flags, throwing rocks at police. I hate to tell you guys, if you're involved in this, it's not helping your cause. It's not making people want to bring more of you in here. It'd be like me going to Australia and protesting the presidential campaign that they have down there, whatever they do, and holding up an American flag and throwing rocks at the cops. Everybody's going to say, get this lunatic out of here. Why is he even in our country? Boot him out today. That's the only response you're going to get. Do that in any other country, especially some of those third world countries down in South America, they're going to shoot you. They're going to shoot you on sight if you do that. You're not even going to make it out of the country. The fact that people are doing this here in Anaheim, California, and think this is acceptable behavior to do, to start throwing rocks at police because you don't like a presidential candidate that's holding a campaign in your city, you're a blithering idiot. And then holding up a flag that's supposed to represent your country while you're engaged in this illegal behavior doesn't even make it any better at all. So I don't know what these guys are thinking. I hope a lot of them wake up, but a lot of them could just be paid protesters as well that are so stupid that they're going along with this and also basically demeaning their own country at the same time by throwing up their flags and acting in this type of irrational behavior. I don't know, man. It's pretty ridiculous to me.
You know, it reminds me of Forrest Gump. You know, you know, basically, you know, stupid is as stupid does. I mean, it doesn't even make stupid sense that they're doing that. I mean, if they're trying to protest the candidacy, why don't they go protest, you know, in Mexico? Why are they doing it here? And why they should be happy they got themselves across the Rio Grande or wherever they got in. You know, I'd be picking up my chopper and I'd be just loading them up into a C-130, handcuffing them, zip tying them, and landing them off of in a military base down there in Mexico and just say, get out, you're back home, yeah. Have fun. You know, you guys do what you think you need to do now. Why don't you just go ahead and see what happens now here? Let's just have fun with all this. Good luck. You know, goodbye. And be done with it. I mean, who in the world? Get rid of these people. By the way, Glenn Beck is continuing to advocate the assassination of Trump. This is crazy. This guy's getting away with this. This is yesterday on the Glenn Beck show. Author Brad Thor advocated the assassination of Donald Trump. And he goes, I'm about to suggest something very bad with the feckless, spineless Congress we have. Who will stand in the way of Donald Trump overstepping his constitutional authority as president? If Congress won't remove him from office, what patriot will step up and do that? I mean, what has Glenn Beck been drinking so many diet sodas now he's gone brain dead? I mean, that guy is just absolutely lost it. You know, because his weirdo Ted Cruz buddy doesn't get the nomination because of his involvement with his dad and the involvement with the Bay of Pigs and the involvement with the Kennedy assassination, supposedly, according to some of these researchers. Now, Glenn Beck, who had this vision, this prophetic word that Ted Cruz is supposed to be the president, are you joking me? Now they're openly advocating the assassination of Trump. And where's the Secret Service? Hey, Secret Service, we need to protect our candidates. Even the wicked witch Hillary needs to be protected. And if anybody's out there advocating to kill any of these people, they need to be investigated. Not much less somebody who's got such a huge following like Glenn Beck used to have. Here's another one from Paul Joseph Watson. Threats to kill Trump are again flooding Twitter as the presidential candidate prepares to make an appearance at an event in Anaheim, which the police have warned could see more riots similar to last night's mayhem in Albuquerque. Crazed leftists, Bernie Sanders supporters, and illegal aliens assaulted reporters and police, attacked horses, threw rocks, and even targeted a Trump supporter in a wheelchair. Anaheim Police Chief Raul Quiesa warned today that such behavior would not be tolerated, asserting, while we recognize and respect the First Amendment rights of all individuals to express their viewpoints and protest peacefully, we will not tolerate violence or disobedience of the law during an upcoming rally in Anaheim. I mean, Austin, you know, what is wrong with these people, and why do they think that doing stuff like this is going to make any difference in the world? Openly advocating the murder of Donald Trump, are these people blatantly, totally, completely insane? They'd rather have the Wicked Witch of Washington in the White House than they would Donald Trump. Unbelievable to me, son. What do you think?
I don't even know if they want anybody in there, as far as, I don't even know if they know what they want. I think some of these people are so stupid, and they're basically are so racist and hateful that as soon as Donald Trump started speaking anything about preventing illegal immigration, preventing spending hundreds of billions of dollars a year on all types of different welfare services for illegal immigrants that aren't even supposed to be here, for putting a wall up and defending America and making it great again and making America first, I think some of them are so just filled with hate and racism that this is the only response they have. They just have to hate somebody because they basically see their gravy train ending, and they're not going to be supported by the American government anymore for doing nothing, for earning nothing, for producing nothing, for supporting nothing. And I think that's what a lot of it comes down to, is they see the end is near, and this giant gravy train they've been riding for decades now is about to come to a screeching halt. So this is the last resort that they know what to do, is basically pitching a temper tantrum in the middle of the street and throwing rocks at cops, because that's their best option now. That's really, I think, what a lot of it comes down to. I think a lot of these people are just that ignorant and that racist, and they always blame Trump for being a racist when he's never even made a single racist comment that I've ever heard at all. He's made factual, true, American first, America support comments, and that's been it. I'm so sick of hearing this racist card played all the time when most people don't even understand what the true definition of racism is. So, yeah, that's what I think a lot of it boils down to. A lot of these people are just very, very irritated that they know their gravy train's about to end, and this is their way of their last, you know, their last-ditch effort to protest this.
Well, and you know, we have had 100 million immigrants coming to the United States now in the last 60 years. 100 million. I mean, that's what took the population from 200 to 300 million. I mean, and the problem is the vast majority of these guys don't really want to work. You know, the ones that are coming in now, they're all part of the Howard Piven strategy to bankrupt the country, or they want to cause social unrest like these guys are doing. These guys are the perfect example of why we don't want you here. God.
Yeah.
You
yeah,
guys,
I know. That's the thing.
You guys are the poster children of why we don't want you here and we want a wall. Okay, have you got that? I mean, that's what you're doing here. We don't want you here. Come here legally. Immigrate legally. We have legal ways to immigrate into the country. And all those, as far as I'm concerned, need to be closed down right now. because we really need to get this country back in order again, and we need to stop these social welfare programs, and we need to stop all these anchor baby nonsense things. I mean, hundreds of thousands of women are coming into the country every year now, pregnant, so they have a baby, and now they're huck, and they're an anchor here in the United States, and they get their welfare checks. I mean, we're the only country in the world that's stupid enough to do that, because the liberal Democrats have gotten all the systems through. And so we got to stop this stuff, Austin. And you know, the same thing. Trump says, you know, we don't want the illegals coming in. We're going to build a wall, and they're going to pay for it. And now Fox, the ex-president of Mexico, is basically apologizing for what he said about Trump, because now he realizes that if Trump's president, they're going to pay for it. You know, it's only $10 billion. They've got a huge surplus right now with them, so they're going to have to pay for it. They would have to continue the surplus that's going on. Same thing was true with all the Muslims. He didn't say never bring another Muslim to the United States. He goes, hey, it's probably better if we stop this Muslim, bringing these Muslims in, until we can vet them properly and make sure we're not bringing Al-Qaeda terrorists into the United States. That's what he said. He didn't say never, ever again. You know, so the truth of the matter is, I personally would rather not have any immigrants come in until we can get our own house in order. We don't need people here. They're going to be social welfare recipients, Austin, if they're not willing to work. Let's clean it up ourselves first, get the United States back into a prosperous state, and then we can start trying to help the world again. That's how I look at it.
Yes, that's exactly right. And then, and like you said, I mean, I don't have a bit of problem with legal immigration, especially when people want to come here and work and support the American dream and try and help America to be great again. But we have too many people riding in the cart with too few of people pulling it now, and that's what's happening. And that's as simple as it gets. So a lot of people need to realize that this can't be sustained any longer. And guys, we appreciate everything. We appreciate you guys listening to the show and the phone calls and emails we get from you guys all the time. We try and respond back to everything as quickly as possible. Healthmasters.com, you can sign up for our free newsletter there. You can also email us on our contact form there at healthmasters.com. We will be sending out an email today for some special stuff that's going to be going on this weekend. And Dad will be on the Hagman Show tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, correct?
That's right, Austin. And we're going to have a huge sale this weekend, okay? So you guys stay tuned. The email will be going out tonight, so you guys need to go sign up for it so you get the coupon code discounts. And so we're going to have a huge sale all weekend for you guys. We appreciate you so much. Thank you for supporting Health Masters. Thank you for getting on our immune protocols and our healthy joint protocols and our healthy blood sugar protocols and our healthy, you know, feel great protocols. Thank you for that. Because if we don't have you guys supporting us, we can't be here putting the word out. And again, we don't turn this show into an infomercial. We never have, never will. But we thank you for your support because we need you. Because if all of us work together synergistically, we're all going to be blessed and we're all going to be able to help and we're going to make a huge, huge difference, Austin. Because what's happening now is going to get much, much worse if we can't get Donald Trump in the office. And guys, continue to pray for his safety. It's so important that we keep the Donald safe.
Absolutely. We appreciate it, guys. Thank you for listening. You guys have a blessed, safe night, and we'll talk to you tomorrow. And then Dad will be on the Hagman Show again in the evening. You guys have a wonderful evening.
We love you guys. Good night.